Amen. All right, well, you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 13, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and look down at verse number 13. The Apostle Paul is ending his letter to the church at Corinth here, and he's beginning to kind of wrap things up, and he's trying to give them some encouraging words. And in verse 13, he makes this statement. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." And I want you to notice this phrase. He says, "Quit you like men. Quit you like men. Be strong." I was considering and praying and thinking about what I should be preaching this morning. And of course, it's Father's Day, and I thought it might be good to preach a sermon geared towards the men. And I want to talk to the men this morning. I believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable for all of us. But when the Apostle Paul makes this statement, "Quit you like men," this is not a statement that we use a lot today. And the word "quit" there is referring to the way you act. And he's basically saying, "I want you to act like men." The new type of modern way that you and I would say this, this is how you and I would say it today, is if you ever looked at a guy and said, "Man, you need to man up." And he's basically saying, "Hey, you guys need to man up. You need to act like men." He's saying, "Quit you like men." And I was thinking this morning, you know, I want to give you 3 points this morning in regards to 3 areas where men need to man up. And, you know, the first point this morning is this. For those of you who like to take notes, I'd like you to write this down. We need men to man up in the pulpit. We need men that are going to stand up and be preachers of the Word of God, to man up and to begin to act like men. And, you know, what I'd like to say to preachers all across America this morning is, quit you like men. And here's what you need to understand. You know, the reason that we're here this morning and the reason that all of this came to the head that it is, the reason we have all these protesters out there, let me make something clear. This did not come because of any laws that were broken on our part. This did not come because of any violence that we have promoted or advocated or instigated. The media has portrayed it that way. Last night on the news, I heard a guy say, "Sacramento pastor says it's okay to go out and kill gay people." Well, I don't use the word gay, so I don't know where you're quoting me from, but I didn't say that. And the truth of the matter is that and I want to be clear about this, you know, just as we begin the sermon this morning. Pastor Jimenez and Verity Baptist Church, we have never encouraged anyone to go out and perform any act of violence towards anyone. Right. Neither are we, you know, desiring to take control of the government in order to make this happen. Look, we are in the midst of a spiritual warfare. And I'd like you to keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, but turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, just by way of introduction this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 12. If you want to know the battle that Pastor Jimenez is engaged in, this is a battle that I am engaged in. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's no blood that I want to shed. There's no person that I want to fight. We are fighting a spiritual battle against the forces of Satan. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And we're fighting the gates of hell right now. We're charging that spiritual battle. But I want to be clear. We are not advocating that anybody go out and perform any violent act towards a sodomite. We're not wanting to start some sort of a political movement where we go out. Look, the only time that you and I will ever live in a righteous government is when the Lord Jesus Christ himself reigns on this earth. Until then, all we can do and all we should do and everything we want to put our energy and time and effort into is reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, is getting people saved, getting people baptized, and helping them grow in grace, teaching them the Bible, which includes the entire Bible. Amen. Romans 1 is included in that. Leviticus 19 is included in that. Genesis 19, Leviticus 20, all of these passages are included in that. So I want to begin this morning by just making that statement and helping you understand that we are not engaged in a battle with people. We are engaged in a battle against Satan and the dark forces that rule this world. But unfortunately, the media, the government, and many people in our culture today are influenced by that Satan. But let me go ahead and say this. We are the problem, the reason that we're here this morning, the reason that we have all these issues now is not because of anything we've done or any law that we've broken, but it's simply because of this. We are being told by our society that we hold the wrong opinion. We're being told that we hold the wrong belief. We're being persecuted today, and we're having people come up against us, not because of anything we've done, but because of what we think, because of what we believe. Because we've stood and said, I believe the Bible. I agree with the Word of God. I believe what God says. And listen to me. We're starting to see the beginnings of a thought police formed in America today. It's not that you're the enemy because you did anything wrong. You're just the enemy because you don't think the way the government and the way the media wants you to think. And the point that we're making is we will not be intimidated. We will not back up. We will not back down. We are going to stand with the Word of God whether the world likes it or not. And I want you to understand, but here's the point that I want to make is don't be discouraged. You know that we are actually living in America today. You and I are actually living closest to New Testament Christianity, closer to New Testament Christianity than we ever have. I want you to understand something. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke in the New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I'd like you to go to Luke chapter number 4. I want you to understand something. The world has never enjoyed, and the world has never loved, and the world has always rejected the message of the Bible. Today, you've got people outside of our church building saying, you know, you don't preach what Jesus preached, and you're not standing with Jesus. But listen, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, and I don't have time to give you the entire context. I'd encourage you to read it on your own. But in Luke chapter 4, we have a passage where the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry. Where the Lord Jesus Christ actually preached his first sermon. And I'd like you to notice how the response to his message. Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things. This was Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, his sermon. When they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city. And led him out unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Do you know that the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, the reaction was, let's throw this guy off a cliff? And today people are like, Pastor Jimenez, I mean, you can't be right that you would stand up and preach the Bible and have so many people be against you. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preached and he stood, they said, let's throw this guy off a cliff. And let me remind you, they so hated his message, they ended up crucifying him. They ended up killing him. And the fact that today we would have Christians who would say, well, you must be wrong if the world stands against you. You're not following the teaching of Jesus. Let me tell you something. You're not following the teaching of Jesus. You've made up a Jesus of your own imagination, because the Jesus of the Bible, when he stood up, when he opened his mouth, when he preached, the Bible says they were filled with wrath. So I'd like to just encourage you this morning, what would Jesus do? I think Jesus would have protesters in 2016. They tried to throw him off a cliff. They put him on a cross. The world has never liked the message of the Bible. You say, well, that's just one example. That's the example. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another example. Go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 7. Look at verse 54. Acts chapter 7. You're there in Luke, just one book over. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. The God these people serve is not the God of the Bible. Luke chapter 7 and verse 54, the Bible says, notice what it says, when they heard these things, here's another sermon. This is Stephen, the first deacon. When they heard these things, notice, they were cut to the heart and they, notice, gnashed. That means they were grinding down with their teeth. They gnashed on him with their teeth. Look down at verse 57. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. I mean, this is the response that Stephen, one of the first deacons, he's preaching and they're crying out. They're gnashing their teeth. They're literally putting their hands to their ears because they just don't want to hear the word of God preached. And ran upon him with one accord. Notice verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. But Christianity, you know, the fact that you're getting people to protest you, the fact that you're getting this type of response, you must not be following the teaching of the Bible. Well, it's funny because when you read the Bible, you find that the early Christians were all getting stoned, thrown off cliffs, I mean, being persecuted. They didn't like the message. Let me explain something to you. The world has never liked the message of the Bible. And the world never will. And even though we stand up and say, hey, we're not advocating violence towards anyone, we're just saying what the Bible says. We're just saying that God, in his righteous government, would put these people to death. If God was the king, if God was in charge, that's what God would do. That's what the Bible says. That's what we believe. And then they get upset and they gnash and they stop their ears and they run against us. They want to stone us. There's people out there that like to throw me off a cliff. And I would submit this to you. That's biblical Christianity. Amen. The problem with these people is not that they, it's that they don't like what the Bible says. You say, well, that's just two examples. Okay, let me give you another one. Go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul, the man who basically took the gospel to the world. Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, talking about what he said and what he preached, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. The unbelieving Jews promoted a protest on Facebook. The unbelieving Jews said, hey, let's get together and let's go down to that church and let's go protest against Paul, and made their minds evil affected, meaning evil influence against the brethren. Look down at verse 15. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to, don't miss this, stone them. Look at verse 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the regions that lieth round about. They said, you know what? Forget this. We'll just go somewhere else. But they followed them. Look at verse 19. Skip down to verse 19. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Here's a question I have for those who say, you're not Christian if you preach something that upsets the world. What Jesus are you following? Because I just read in the Bible that Jesus preached a sermon, they tried to throw him off a cliff. I just read in the Bible that Stephen preached a sermon and they stoned him. I just read in the Bible that Paul preached a sermon and they tried to kill him. And when he went somewhere else, they followed him and they stoned him. You say, well, that's only three. Okay, let me give you another example. Go to Acts chapter 19. How many examples do we need? Acts chapter 19. Look at verse number 28. Acts chapter number 19. And verse number 28, here's another example for Paul. And when they heard these sayings, talking about his sermon, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Articus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. And let me say something. If you're my companion, you may suffer persecution. Paul's companions suffered persecution. They rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused. Doesn't that describe our assembly out there? And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand, and would have made his defense unto the people, but when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, notice this, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, we are Orlando. No, I'm sorry, that's not what they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. I mean, are we not reading about a protest in the Bible? Where they gather together for 2 hours, they're yelling and they're mad. Hey, this is biblical Christianity. The world has never loved the message of the Bible. The world has never loved Bible preaching. They didn't love Jesus. They didn't love Paul. They didn't love Stephen. They've never loved the Word of God. And today you've got Christians standing up and saying, well, this can't be right. I mean, the whole world is against you. What Bible have you been reading? What Jesus have you been following? The world crucified our Savior. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You're there in Acts 19, go to Acts chapter 20. You see, the problem today is many pastors are not interested in preaching the Bible. The problem today is there are some pastors that are more interested in feeding themselves than feeding the flock. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says this: "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." You know that my job is to take the Bible and to feed the flock, whether it's in season or out of season, whether it's popular or not. I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm just supposed to say, hey, thus saith the Lord God. Here's what the Bible says. My job is to feed the church of God while he hath purchased, which he hath purchased his own blood. Now, go with me to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. You got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. While you go there, I'll read for you from 1 Peter 5:2, which says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not a filthy lurker, but of a ready mind." We're told as preachers that we are to feed the flock, that we are to preach the word, that we are to help those that are following Christ grow. But here's the problem with modern preachers today. Are you there in Ezekiel 34? Look at verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds." God is telling Ezekiel, hey, preach against the shepherds of today. Preach against the pastors of today. Preach against the people, the leaders of today, of Israel. You say, why? "Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." You know, the problem with preachers today, here's the problem with preachers today, is the reason that the only preachers that have reached out to me, other than our friends, Pastor Anderson, Faithful Word, Pastor Romero from Steadfast, Pastor Burzins from Word of Truth, Pastor Manley from what's the name of his church in Old Paths? There you go, good night. You know, other than just, you know, our close friends, the only preachers that have reached out to me are just these liberal preachers to condemn me. And you know why? And here's the thing. If they would just stand up and say, well, I mean, good night. I don't know how I missed this. The one time they made me read the Bible in Bible college, I must have just dozed off and not got it. But look at that. It turns out God did put the death penalty on sodomy. You know why they'll never get up and say that? Because they're more interested in feeding themselves than feeding the flock. Because they're more interested in having a crowd. They're more interested in having a nice car. They're more interested in having a nice building. They're more interested in feeding their own belly than standing up for the word of God. And listen to me. Today, pastors will not stand. I had this guy, Francis Afunso, from the Rock of Roseville, keeps calling me. He wants me to come meet with them. I heard him bashing me on the radio, talking about how he met with his transgender friend pastor. And he said, well, we don't agree on everything. I sure hope you don't agree on everything. It's a woman that turned herself into a man who wants to go to bed with other women. I sure hope you don't agree with her on everything. And, you know, but we don't agree on everything, but we just, Pastor Jimenez, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, Scott Matthews from Adventure Church down the street. Pastor Jimenez, can you come meet with us? You know, Kyle Johnson from the Crossing, just right here, the lead pastor, because that makes it sound cool, the lead pastor. You know, and it's like, you know why these guys are never going to stand up and take a stand for anything? Because they're more interested in their pocketbook. They're more interested in their bank account. They're more interested in feeding themselves than actually standing up for something. And listen to me, and by the way, it's not going to get done. And let me talk to the independent Fundamental Baptists. These independent Fundamental Baptists that are refusing to stand with us, that are refusing to stand, they know it's true. They know what the Bible says, but they will stay silent. Listen to me. If they will not stand with us against the homos, they will not stand with us against anything. I mean, if they can't stand up again, if they look at this crowd and look at that crowd and they halt between two opinions and can't figure out where to stand, they're not going to stand with us for anything. And listen to me. If America's going to be reached by Bible-believing preachers, it's going to be done by this crowd. It's going to be done by these men. It's going to be the fact that these men right here in this room and churches like ours need to stand up and go preach the Bible and grow some hair on your legs and say, thus saith the Lord God. Amen. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what anybody says, because at the end of the day, the Word of God is truth. Amen. And they can take your words and cut them and say you are inciting violence. We've never incited violence. Amen. We've never said, go become a vigilante. We've never said, go do violence to anybody or go kill anybody. Here's all we've said. We don't want them in our church. Amen. Here's all we've said. We're sick and tired of your transgender, your little Chipotle, homo estas, you know, shirts you want to wear, your little Target transgender garbage. All we're saying is, look, God isn't for this, and we're not for it either. And if God had his way and God had his government, he would put the death penalty. That's all we've said. But we have the wrong thought. We have the wrong opinion. Our opinion doesn't line up with mainstream media. And you know what? We need men of God to stand up behind the pulpit and just man up. But let me say this. Not only do we need men to man up in the pulpit, you know what? We also need men to man up in the pew. You know, I appreciate every man that has came out, and women, of course, that has came out to support our church. But let me say this. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Let me say this. We need men who will stand up with the men of God when they preach the word of God. And you know what? This ought not. And I've been, someone asked me, you know, how you doing? And I said, listen, it's been such an emotional roller coaster. Because part of me is so encouraged. Some of our church people have made me so proud in the stands that they are taking and the fact that they will not be intimidated. And of course, all the support from all over the country and all of the people that came out and supported us. And then at the same time, my heart has been so discouraged by those who just cut and run and say, you know what, I can't deal with this. And I've had multiple people say to me, I agree with you, but I can't stand with you publicly. And you know what we need in America today is we need men of God that will stand up behind the pulpit and man up. But you know what we also need is men in the pews that'll stand up and that'll be counted and that'll man up. Amen. Hey, quit you like men. Are you there in Deuteronomy 20? Look at verse 1. When thou goest to battle. Now, this is the Old Testament. They're going to physical battle. Let me just make it clear. We're not going to battle physically. We're battling this. You know, they're going to cut that out. Wait, he's telling them to go to battle. Ridiculous. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and signs and people more than you, hey, be not afraid. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when ye come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Amen. And you know what? I just decided, and let me say something. If you have a concern, if you have a question, I am open. If you want to come to me and say, Pastor, I have a legitimate concern, and I've had several of those conversations. People say, I just have a concern about X, Y, and Z. And I don't hold any grudges against anybody who has a question or a concern. Look, we are open to try to help in any way that we can. But if you want to come to me and just try to preach, you know, fear into me and try to, you know, I told my wife, when it comes to the ladies, rebuke fear when it comes. I'm not allowing people to just try to scare me or intimidate me and say, you have a question? Ask me. You have a concern? And I've had multiple men in our church that are strong men. Say, Pastor, I got a couple questions. I got a couple concerns about these three things or these couple things. We've talked about it. It's been great. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people that are texting me saying, Pastor, you may want to consider just, you know, retracting what you said. Pat, you know, the emails. You may want to, I stand with you, but you may want to just, you know, let's be Secret Service Christians. Why don't you send out private texts about what you believe? Are you there in Deuteronomy 20? Look at verse 8. And the officers shall you speak further unto the people. And they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Now notice what he said. Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. You know, people have been asking me, what about brother so-and-so? Brother so-and-so quit on us because he's afraid. You know what? Let him go. Amen. Let him go and don't come back. Because I don't need you bringing your fear in here and causing other people to be afraid. You know what? We actually believe the Bible when it says safeties of the Lord. We actually believe the Bible when it says that God is going to take care of us. We actually, you know, well, I'm afraid about my finance. We actually believe the Bible when it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, well, what are you going to do if they evict you? What are you going to do if they do this? What are you going to do if they do that? Look, I don't know. I'm just trusting that God will take care of it. It's not my church. It's his church. It's not my ministry, it's his ministry. And by the way, it's not my word, it's his word. But we need man to man up. Can you go to 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You find the T books. They're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And by the way, let me say this. I appreciate the men and women in our church. They're strong people. And I've had several ask me questions, have concerns about things, and they're not afraid. They just want to make sure we're right, and I appreciate that. But let me say this to those of you that are running scared, that are running, you know, just frightened. Don't bring your fear in here. We don't need it. Say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do if you stand alone? Well, you know, I don't think I'm standing alone. Amen. Looks like a pretty packed house. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 16. Notice what Paul said. Because this is you know, New Testament Christianity is the real thing. Look at it. Notice what Paul said. You know, you may not know this, but Paul was arrested for what he preached. Can you believe that? The world didn't just love him? No. 2 Timothy 4:16. And by the way, let me say this. We haven't broken any laws, but there will come a day when just thinking what we think will be against the law. When just believing what we believe will be against the law. And my first answer, notice what Paul said, no man stood with me. Isn't that sad? But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You know what? I have the same prayer. Everyone that's just running, I pray to God that it's not laid to their charge. But notice verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You know what? If people forsake us, if we have to stand alone, the Lord is with us. The Lord. But let me put this challenge out. You're there in 2 Timothy 4. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And by the way, just being here shows a lot of boldness in you. Just being here this morning, just walking into this building, shows that you are trusting God. And that you have boldness. And that you have character and integrity. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 8. Notice what Paul said. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He said, hey, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And he also said this, nor of me his prisoner. Hey, can I ask some of you that call Verity Baptist Church your home, can you not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me? Can you not be ashamed of the word of God, nor of me, for preaching the Bible? Amen. You say, well, should you be asking that? Well, Paul asked that. He said, hey, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Hey, can you partake with me of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God? Amen. And here's a question I have for, you know, the Rock of Roseville. When have you ever been afflicted for the gospel? When have you ever suffered persecution for standing, taking a stand? Here's why, because you don't take any stands. And look, let me say something. We've tried it their way. We tried the Rick Warren. We tried the Bill Hybel. We tried the Andy Stanley. We tried the never say anything offensive, just act like the world, be like them to try to reach them. We tried that for about 30 years now, for about 40 years now. You know what it got us? It got us legalized abortion. You know what it got us? It got us legalized sodomites getting married. You know what it got us? It got us this transgender movement. It's got us nowhere in America, and we need to get back to just preaching the Bible, living holy, living separated, saying, thus saith the Lord God, and actually being different. Amen. That's what it takes in America. We need to get back to biblical Christianity. But today, you know, we tried it. It didn't work. Give it up. I know you got rich, but it did nothing for America. So what do we need today? We need men to man up in the pulpit. So what do we need today? We need men to man up in the pew. But let me say this. You know what we need today? We need men to man up as parents. It's Father's Day, so let's tie it in. I need another P for my sermon anyway. We need men to man up as parents. Can you go to Ephesians 6? You're there in 2 Timothy. Move back. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. According to the U.S. Department of Census, 43% of U.S. children live without their father. According to the U.S. Department of Health, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. In fact, they are 5 times more likely to commit suicide than children who grew up with their fathers. According to the Texas Department of Corrections, 85% of youths in prison grew up in fatherless homes. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions grew up in fatherless homes. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, 71% of teen pregnancies come from girls who grew up in fatherless homes. According to the National Principals Association, 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. According to the U.S. DHHS Bureau of Census, 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. They also said fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, 4 times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. You know where we've dropped the ball in America? As parents. You know, we look at these sodomites and we look at these freaks and we ask the question, what happened to them in their childhood that allowed them to come down this road? But let me tell you something. That's a valid question, but that's not the right question. You know what the correct question is? What didn't happen to them that allowed them to go down this road? And I'll tell you exactly what didn't happen to them. They did not have a dad. They did not have a mother. They did not have a preacher. They did not have a church family that brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They were not raised with the Word of God. Listen, you say, we need to win America back. You know how we're going to win America back? With these kids right here.
Amen.
You know how we're going to win America back? By taking our children and teaching them Bible. And let me tell you something. Don't come to me saying, well, Pastor, you know, I'm for you, but I don't know that I want my children to see all of this and see the protest. I want my children to see this.
Amen.
I want to raise a Daniel. I want to raise a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego. I want to raise young people that are going to stand up against the government, against the media, and stand up and say, we will not be intimidated. We will stand for the things of God. I want my children to do that. And here's how they're going to do it. By seeing a mom and a dad that does that.
Amen.
By seeing a church family that does that.
Amen.
Don't try to shield these kids. Teach these kids the Bible. They are the future. We need men of God to man up as parents. We need men of God that are going to say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with my children. You know what? I'm going to love on my children. You know what? I'm going to discipline and disciple my children. You know what? I'm going to see my children as my ministry and do everything I can to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need men to man up as parents. That's how we're going to reach this country. That's how we're going to do it, by raising these kids and training them and helping them. Go to Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 10. We're done right here. We'll be done. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 10. I want to end with this verse. Before I go there, let me say this. We're being told that we will soon approach a number of one-third of the American population does not believe in God. So how do you solve that? Mom and dad, you need to train your kids. You need to pull them out of that public school, that public hellhole, where they're being brainwashed into believing atheism and evolution, the fairy tales of evolution. You need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them the Word of God and teach them the Bible. And I understand some of you are in positions where you're not able to do that. I get that. But you need to read the Bible with your kids. You need to spend time with your kids. You need to love your kids. You need to make sure that they see the love of Christ in you. Say, aren't you worried about love? You know what? I am worried about love. I'm worried about loving these kids right here.
Amen.
Amen.
And this idea that, well, you guys don't love. No, actually, we love these kids. That's why we don't let the sodomites in here.
Right.
You know, a love that loves everything loves nothing. And love and hate are just two sides of the same coin. You can't love flowers without hating weeds. And you can't love children without hating pedophiles. You can't love children without hating predators. And people say, you love. No, you just love the wrong thing. I love my children. I love your children. And that's why we will protect them. You're saying to kill them? You're an idiot. You're saying to go be violent? You are brainwashed by the world media. When have I said we should go do anything to these people? All I've said is this. They're not welcome here. God gave up on them, and so did I.
Amen.
God's given them over to a reprobate mind. And these Christians say, well, I can't believe you say that the Bible doesn't teach that. You don't read the Bible. You either are ignorant or you're a liar, and you're probably both. To say that the Bible doesn't teach these things. Are you there in Revelation 2? Look at verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. I want to end this morning by saying, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these words are in red. You know why? Because these are the words that Jesus spake. Jesus said this to one of his churches, and I believe Jesus saying it to Verity Baptist Church this morning. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. I just want to say to you this morning, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The Bible says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hey, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And here's what I want you to key in on in this verse. Here's what Jesus said. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. You know that Jesus knows exactly how long we will go through this trial? People ask me, how long do you think this will last? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus does. He said, fear none of those things which I shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And then he says this, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen. You know what? I want that crown of life. And I'd rather have the approval of my Savior than the approval of this world. The same world that crucified my Savior, the same world that stoned the Apostle Paul, the same world that stoned the Apostle, the Deacon Stephen. I don't need their approval. I want God's approval. And I want to encourage you. And you know what, you ladies, you know, I appreciate your boldness. And I understand you're gonna shake from time to time, and I get that. The Bible says that you're the weaker vessel. I hope you have a husband that'll encourage you. I try to do my best to encourage you. You say, I'm not married. I hope there's somebody in your life that'll encourage you. But you know, the message I want to give today is this. Quit ye like men. Man up. Man up in the pulpit. Man up in the pew. Man up as parents. And let me just try just one last time. Because we've got them all here. Hopefully one of them will report this with some integrity. We have never said to go be a vigilante. They're already turning them off. We have never said to become vigilantes and go kill anyone. We've just said, here's what the Bible says, we believe it. And because just for believing the wrong thing, they stand against that. But don't let that discourage you, because they stood against Jesus. They stood against the Word of God. The world will never accept our message. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father,